The Lord has brought to my heart a word on faith. So I want to direct your attention to it in the Hebrews letter. The Hebrews, like everybody else, and probably like all of us in this room, found their biggest difficulty in living. And so, in verse 38 of chapter 10, the writer says, "The just shall live by faith." Now, we're inclined to emphasize the last word, to live by faith. But I think as you read down through chapter 11, from which he draws his illustrations, where he writes down his illustrations, drawing from Hebrew history, the emphasis is upon living. And that's the tremendous thing for all of us to understand. The Hebrews had probably got carried away with the thing that's carried many, many people away during their lifetime. That is, that they thought that Jesus was coming back any minute. And in verse 37, he has to tell them this. He says, "A little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." And you know that over 1,000 years has gone since then. And in verse 36 he says, "You have need of patience." Amen. And if you look back with me into chapter 6, you will find these words. Verse 15, "After he had patiently endured, he received the promise." What a tremendous thing for us to understand. Back into chapter 10 then. Now, verse 38, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." What a tremendous thing. He wasn't classifying the Hebrews with people who drew back and went into perdition. He says that very clearly. But nevertheless, the trouble was that they were living in such a way that their soul wasn't knowing the glory of God's salvation every day of their lives. And this is something, you know, that you and I have to get deeply into our hearts. You know, a soul gets saved on Sunday night. And then we sort of think, now the packet's all done up, we wait till Jesus comes, and everything's all right to be with him forever. And sometimes we forget that from the night of our conversion, we then, having been assured that our soul will not finally be lost in hell, have to see about seeing that it's saved from sin and the world and the devil for the next 50 years. Until the Lord comes for us, either by death or by appearing for his church. And this is the great thing. And it's this that he's concerned about. The day by day, moment by moment, salvation of the soul. And if your soul isn't being gloriously saved, then you're, in these days, you're not living by faith. You have exercised faith in the past. And you would be classified with those who have exercised faith in Jesus. But how about faith in your heart now? Real faith. And so he feels that he is bound to talk about faith, and my, how he does it, in this next chapter. Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you will know that the second coming of the Lord Jesus is the glorious hope of the church. That's right. Now, if you've really got that hope in you, you say, well, the Lord is coming back, and glory to God, he is. That's a marvelous thing. Then the outcome of that is that you will have substantial faith in your life to live every day of it for the glory of God. And that's really what he's talking about in this chapter, as we shall see. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's an amazing thing how faith and hope are linked together. Go back into chapter 6, where we have already looked. As we finish up, let's start in verse 10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, so that you have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful. Now, hope that brings you to flatness and laziness is not hope at all. Slothfulness is not to be substituted for, well, I've got hope and I'm just waiting, you see, because you've got hope. Let's go on. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith does not inherit anything unless it has patience. It's faith and patience that inherits. Here then is something for you and I to understand. I mean, we in these days, and we need more and more of this, we are excited, we get excited. We hear of somebody being healed from cancer. I told you one day on Sunday that I've had a new set of teeth given to me. Well, I went into the dentist's, and he said to me, he said, you know, so-and-so, referring to his reception, she's over the moon this morning. So I said, why? Well, you see, the deacon in their church had cancer, and they prayed for him. And when they went into, when he was going to have the operation, he got down as far as the operating room and they sent him back. He said there was no need to operate, and so on and so on. So she was just about over the moon, you know, telling this Christian dentist. I like Christian dentists and Christian doctors. I'm going to see if I can find a Christian optician. But it's a marvellous thing. She told him, and he told me, and he said, she expects me to be over the moon too. I said, well, that's a very wonderful thing, brother. And we chatted along this line, because, you see, this is, we love to hear that. Instantaneous. See, faith that believes and gets it now. Now, that's the kind of faith talk we've been brought up on. But there's another faith that has to be connected with patience. And we're going to see that worked out. Because that's the only kind of faith that will enable us to live as God wants us to live. You can't live on getting healed from cancer every day in your life, can you? We only want that once, thank you. You can't live on having your leg grow a bit longer every day of your life. We only want that once, thank you, if I've got a short leg. You see what I mean? That's right, isn't it? You've got, it's quite clear. We can't live on getting born again every day of our life. We only need that once, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's these great onces that we're brought up on, these sort of spectacular things. May they be increased. Let nobody think that I'm trying to cry that down at all. I would shout it up with all my lung power. That's a tremendous thing. And we do see a share of those things. But here we go on. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he endured the promise. He obtained the promise. Amen. Patient endurance. It's a rare thing. A rare thing. May God speak deeply into all our hearts then. So you see that in that section we had love and faith and hope brought together. The great fruit of the Spirit. The testimony that God has come to abide. And if he comes to abide in us, he comes to live in us. And not just live in us as isolated from us, but making us live with him. Amen. We've got to live with him. That is, keep pace with him. We've got to open to him, walk with him, talk with him, think with him, believe with him. Hallelujah. These are the great things. If he's come to abide in you, this is that to which he has invited you, into his life, into his way of living, into his approach to everything. That's right. What a tremendous thing it is. Hallelujah. Chapter 11 then. This faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you know, if you don't find substance in people's life, don't believe all the things they talk about hoping, you see. You've got to have substantial reason for hope in your life. Glory be to God. Hopes, beloved, are very positive, powerful, spiritual things. The real hope that God is talking about. They're not the daydreams and aspirations of minds and hearts that don't really know what it's all about. And in verse 2 we read that it's by this faith the elders obtained the good report. And then he goes down through this chapter to deal with these elders. And we're going to find out how these elders lived. He starts with Abel, you see, in verse 4. But we're going to see something else before we get there. Remember that this word that has to do with seeing is used. That faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Now, by this evidence of things not seen, by this substantial spiritual quality that these men had in these elders of verse 2, they did what we read in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen, he's back on things that can be seen, were not made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. Now, this is something every one of us has to get firmly fixed in us. That, first of all, faith has to do with the Word of God. Listen, the creative Word of God. That's what he's talking about. If you're going to live by faith, what do you know about the creative Word of God in your heart, in your mind, and in your life? You see, this is written so that we should disabuse our minds of all the fakes and substitutes that people get into their thinking. You see, we understand faith, you see here, before it gets to anything sort of big and spectacular, he's telling us the inner spiritual qualities. Faith is a quality of understanding. You say, well, I've never thought about that. Yes, it is. It's something that enables the understanding of an individual to pass fully into and onto the Word of God. We understand completely that everything is done by God saying, this, that, I will do that, go there. That's right. That's what we're going to find. What do you know about this in your life? Say, surely this is something that has to be cultivated. Sure. After it's given, it must be cultivated. Habits have to be formed until, eventually, to live the life of faith becomes quite habitual. Not an effort. Something that's absolutely normal in the life. What a glorious position this is. We'll read on then, shall we? Amen. Oh, the things that you see, beloved. The things you see, they were not made of apparent things. So it's no good trying to look for their cause or their source in the material world. Not at all. It's no good trying to calculate a series of events and say, aha, now I can see this is how it all works. You see, you can't do that. Faith is the relationship to God. We'll just have to pass over quickly at this moment. We're coming back to the end of the verses. In verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to believe to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Faith has to do with God. Faith has to do with God's word. Faith has to do with invisible sources. God, faith has to do with creative power. Faith brings me into a place of understanding. Through faith, may we go back again to verse 3. If I don't get through tonight, we've got the weekend coming. Through faith, we understand, now this is basic to your spiritual living in a material world. And not only a material world, but a materialistic world. That's the philosophy that's built up on bases of material things. Materialism. You've got to understand that the eyes on verse 3, the ages were fitted together by the word of God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that we are dealing with a God, and this God is dealing with us? And that you mustn't think that everything is sort of concentrated upon you or upon me. Do you realize that you've come into the world whenever you were born? Funny, I've been filling in some forms today stating when I was born and when my wife was born. I won't tell you that one. I don't mind telling when I was born. You realize, beloved, that when you came into the world didn't suddenly begin. And it doesn't all turn round you. Now, I know there's extreme opposite to that. I say, oh, well, nobody notices me. I've been born under. Nobody cares about me. And that's the heart that's in desperation. That's the heart that only needs to come to Jesus in reality. And I'll find that all the devil's gloomy thoughts that he's put in their mind will be chased out by the light and power of God. You'll know that you're loved. I've been reading a chapter in Isaiah today, for instance. Thou wert precious in mine eyes. I loved thee. That's the way God spoke to Israel way back. Well, that's marvelous. But in our little ways, you have to understand that we have come somewhere into the plan of God in the ages of God that didn't begin in Genesis and will not end when Revelation has been fulfilled. We've been brought into a plan of the ages, of the ages. This is what he was telling these Hebrews. Do you see? Do you understand this? Do you understand this? Yes, I understand this. That I'm here, and if I see that God works through ages, I realize only by, say, the length of a year, because it's a year's a long time when you're somewhere under 20. But when you're over 60, it only seems 5 minutes, you see. And the span of a lifetime, or a passage of a century, it's nothing. 1,000 years is but as a day in his sight. In other words, beloved, there's a great vast scheme of things into which you and I have to fit. I mean, God's endlessly patient. The things that he has planned and wanted for years never worked out yet. Really? But listen, how Peter comes to Jesus now, look, God's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack. Because you see, the thing is that the 1,000 years is but as a day with God. See, we're such frantic little people of time. We dash through a day. We want everything here and now, and it's got to be. And some says, yeah, you want faith and faith. But you see, faith can't make the clock go on. That's the thing. It doesn't. You simply got to go through time, beloved, and live your life. You've got to come up what that you read about in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, we've come to Mount Zion. And listen, after all the other quotes there, it says, the spirits of just men made perfect. Yeah. And that's what time's about, among other things. Perfecting you. In faith. Not clamoring things. So I said, come on, we'll storm the gates of heaven. Now, there are times when this has got to be done. You know, everybody's going on a campaign, leading a skirmish. Wave the flag, rattle the saber, and so on. And there are times when we need to sing, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. You see? Then there's another hymn which says, and put side by side to it, take time to be holy. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. You see, these things have to be balanced in our lives. Glory be to God. I suppose on Sunday we had an exhibition of up and doing now. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. That's fine. Let's go right on. Look at this man Paul in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaking. What? By faith. He's dead. By faith he's speaking. Can you hear him? Say, how can a dead man speak? Well, what does Abel say to you? It's in this verse. What Abel says to you is this, that faith, first of all, has to obtain the witness of God that you're righteous. That's it. If we're going to live in this world, beloved, we've got to live righteously. And you know, as Paul said to Titus, soberly, righteously. We're talking about living by faith. Righteously before all men. And it's a marvelous thing. This God's witness to Abel's gifts. You see, he not only offered a more excellent sacrifice, but God had to testify of his gifts as well. And by this that God did, you know, sacrifice and giving. Hallelujah. What a life this is of righteousness. God testifying to it. Have you got this kind of faith in your heart now, in your life? Is Abel speaking to you? He's one of the elders, and he's laid down here as the fundamental one. This is where it all began. How old Abel was when he was murdered, who can tell? Well, you will say to me, perhaps, you're talking about living by faith. Yeah. He died by faith too. And if you don't live by faith, you won't die by faith. If you don't live in faith, you won't die in faith. What a tremendous and glorious truth this is, beloved. Let's go on to Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death. Now that's the complete opposite. I'll draw your attention to one or two other opposites if we have time in this chapter. An opposite to something that's been said in this room two or three times as in our opening session. It's good to know the opposites. You do know, don't you, beloved, that this invisible pole that runs through the earth has two ends, a north and a south. They're both necessary, and they're complete opposite to each other. Is that right? Not that we'll see something sticking out of the ice cap in the Antarctic if we go there. It's the axis, if you like. The great, tremendous truth of it, beloved, is this. Enoch, he was translated that he didn't see death and wasn't found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Like Abel, he had this testimony. That he pleased God. Now that's what faith has to do with. It enables us to live a life that pleases God. But it doesn't mean to say that if you live a life that pleases God, you'll one day go out for a walk and walk straight into heaven and won't come back again. That's what God did then. He fits ages together. We're living in this age of the church when God is moving in a specific way. And then, of course, we read that verse 6. Now let's look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, always this not seen. Not seen. And here's the opposite. Lord, you've taken away all our fear. It says Noah was moved by fear. And that fear is a moving principle in the life of faith. You say, what? That seems to be anti all the deliverance preaching I hear. Well, there it is. There it is. The unchangeable word. Now, of course, fear, beloved, if all fear was taken from the soul, man would be a moron. There has to be the right kind of fear. Not craven fear. Not fear induced by devils. Not fear induced by death. Not fear induced by sin. Nothing of those. But nevertheless, when God came to Noah and he told him about the rain and the flood and everything else, it says he was moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, tremendous. Have you got a faith that is so clear out there in the world where you live, in your worldly office, in your worldly school, in your worldly hospital, in your worldly home, or where it is, in your worldly neighborhood, have you got such a faith that it condemns the way they live? Though you never open your mouth to condemn them. Have you? That's the kind of faith. You've got to have a faith, beloved, that condemns the world to what it is, the devil's playground. I, this morning, spent, I don't know how long on the phone, fearful length of time, long distance call right down from the south coast of England. Now, you reckon that up in the expensive time this morning. Must have gone on, I think, probably nearly an hour. I don't know whether my wife timed me or not. She sometimes must get a bit fed up with me, I expect. But there it is. And this precious soul was pouring out her heart because of the worldliness in her home by her professing Christian husband. Pouring it out to me. Over and over and over and over again. Of course, it was the usual source, television. The worldliness in her home. She would shut it off. He won't have it. Won't let her do it. And so on and so on and so on. And this sort of thing was coming over, coming over, coming over. Beloved, have you got this kind of faith that lives clear of all that and condemns it without running around looking like a condemning judge with a black cap on? A life of clear witness, sheer testimony, utter difference from everything and everybody else. See, Noah did this, and you will know that it went on for years and years and years and years. We learn from Scripture that it took Noah 100 years to build the ark, a century. My word. Have you got a faith that'll take you through even 1 year, leave alone 100? A clear-cut division and distinction from the worldliness of the age. Have you? This is the thing that God is concerned about. God, move us in. You will know the distinctive feature of the sin of that age when all flesh had corrupted itself in the sight of God. One clear, living flame. One light. One testimony. Say, well, how did he manage it? How could he? One man. One man. Faith. One man against the whole world. Faith. You got that kind of faith? See, but that absolutely outstanding. That's how you're to be in your home, amongst your companions, where you live, where you work. That's how you're to be. Amen and amen. The just shall live. When you really get this faith, you live. And he's only really giving us insights into life. That's all he's doing in this chapter. All right. By faith, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And by faith, listen to this, when he got out, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, that is, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, had he never found it? He died in a tent. He never found it. Tremendous faith. Well, was he misled then? Looking for a city? Was he deceived, saying he was going out by faith? Listen. Of course, you and I know he wasn't. But this is what the writer is setting in the book for us to see. The principles, the simplicity of it. You see, here it is. Do you know Abraham didn't even know who was calling him? He didn't know God, not at that time. He just got a call, and it was to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. He never inherited anything in it. God said, it's all yours. And you don't ever read that he put a stake up and said, this is Abraham's farm. As a matter of fact, he moved here and moved off somewhere else. And he was just like a stranger in his land. It was the land of the promise. It was the land of promise, we're told. You said, Abraham, this is the land of promise. What's he like? He said, would you know really? It's a strange country to me. Say what? Utterly different from the world he left behind. That's the thing you've got to see. That's what faith will enable to do. It will take you into a land, a territory, spiritual now, I'm talking about, that's so utterly different. Once you've really got faith in your heart, though, it's wonderfully different. Gloriously different. See, we've gone from Noah to Abraham. Noah condemned that world. God destroyed that old world. Here's Abraham. Lo, we go into the new. That's right. It's a strange country. Can you live in it? Can you live in it? That's the point. And mentioning Abraham, mentioning Sarah, just passing over, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. I'm ever so glad it doesn't say as bad as dead. Good thing to be dead for the purposes of God to be worked out in you. Dead to your own abilities, dead to your own ideas, dead to your own power, dead to all your own natural desires springing from the flesh, as good as dead. Wish everybody in the room was as good as dead. And him as good as dead, so many, there sprang so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Oh! But doesn't faith receive the promises? They all lived and died in faith. None of them received the promises. Ah, but we're in a different age now. In the age of fulfillment. Yeah, that's what these Hebrews believed. But when things didn't go according to their faith, they were nearly going to pack up. He says, now look, we're none of those that go back to perdition. God got no pleasure in those that draw back, you Hebrews. Now then, come on, what you need to do is to get your eye on these elders, the elders of faith. Now, I'm not now talking about people of the covenants, you know, the old covenant. Abraham lived before the legal covenant. Isaac lived before the legal covenant. Noah lived before the legal covenant. You see, Moses doesn't come till a long way down in this chapter. Worthies of faith. Men who had no legal principle laid down as a guiding factor in life. None. People who had to depend entirely on God. Praise Him. And that's where God wants us to come. To be able to live there. They all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises. They saw them, here's this word see again, they saw the promises afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Whatever's he talking about? Well, chiefly the children of Israel. 400 over 400 years, was it? Stuck in Egypt. They were the children of the promise. They saw the promises. They believed the promise. They whipped and beaten and died. Yes, hundreds of years went by. Poor boy. They saw the promises. Afar off. Somehow, in their hearts, they believed them, they embraced them, although they were afar off. How can you embrace anything that's afar off? I'll tell you how you embrace things that are afar off. By hope. Hope is always pulling these things into the heart and nourishes itself, doth the heart, on these things. Builds up on hopes. That's what it does. Amen. A hope of a bright tomorrow. Blessed be God. What a wonderfully upbuilding thing is hope. Oh, it's so glorious. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they such things declare plainly that they seek a country. There you are, you see. They were after that country that God had promised Abraham. And truly, when they came out of that country, had they been mindful of it, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, an heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, my, where have we got to now? Abraham was looking for the city, never found it. And here somebody's writing in the New Testament and says that God has prepared for them a city, so they hadn't got it then. None of them. He's talking about New Jerusalem. In other words, you see, you've got to understand first of all that God has fitted ages together. Amen. He's fitted them together, and right through all the ages, whether you call it the Noahic age or the antediluvian age, or whether you call it the age of law, or the age of innocence, or whatever you want to say, or whether you come to the age of grace, or anything like this, or the ages of the ages. Listen, there's one great principle and theme running through them all. Faith! That's right. By faith we understand, we see it all now. God's fitted the ages together on the great thread of faith. Amen. It's a tremendous thing. They were looking for the city. If only they'd come there. In the 12th chapter he tells about it. He says, now we've come. He said, well, I can't see this city. City of God, how broad and fair. They had used to have a sing. We don't sing those hymns now anymore. It's still tremendous. Beloved, have you seen this great city? And into it God is building all these great things. His builder and his maker is God. Hallelujah. Just what part you're going to play in that, just what place you have in it, I don't know. He said, well, if they'd really been mindful of the country they'd come from, Egypt, the world, they might have had an opportunity to return. Might have had. What's your mind full of? What's your mind full of? Listen, I'll tell you, every one of you sitting in this room, and me standing here too, our mind gets more full of the things we cannot see than they are filled with the things we do see. Now you think, see that. Your mind gets filled up with invisible things, invisible persons, or people that are not apparent to your eyes at the moment. Isn't that right? That's right. It's the formation. Oh, that's so. That inward man and woman that God's more concerned about than anything else, and so much depends on the things that you see and yet aren't apparent to you. You've got your mind on them. Sometimes almost to the point of obsession. Men, women, possessions, ideal states, a dream world or a home. Listen, the ages have been fitted together by God And if you let him, he'll fit you together so that you'll be fit to dwell in that city. If you'll let him. Oh, what have you got your mind on? Mindful of that. Mindful of that. Cool. I was at a meeting not so long ago in Warsaw. It was good. They had an outreach meeting there. And had a, I don't know how many strangers in from outside. It was great. And then a tremendous time there. Man stood up. And he was quite open. Just a total stranger to me. And so on. He stood up and he said something. And then they wanted a hymn sung. He might say some very pious words. And it all sounded all right. Somebody stood up and testified to him. It was all very wonderful. I happened to need to go down quickly to catch a car home. And when I got down outside, he was walking up and down smoking tobacco. Oh, it poured out. Apologies to me. Didn't expect me to catch him on that one, you see. That's what, his mind was on that. All the time. I guess about halfway through that meeting, his mind was on, oh, wish I could have a smoke. You see, I guess. Almost a certainty. His mind was full of it. Because his veins were full of it. His system was filled with it. When your mind's full of anything, your system's full of it. I don't necessarily mean your physical system. That's the tragedy. Hallelujah. Oh, watch those thoughts. Abraham heard the call. Glory. And he went out. He knew it was different from everything he'd ever heard in his life. Go on to inherit. Go on. And he did. Didn't know where he was going. Now that's the quality of faith. You've got to go on God's word when you don't know where you're going. All you know is what you're doing. What am I doing? I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm obeying God. That's it. Where you don't know where it's leading, and you don't know where you're going. That's right. That's faith. This man, by God's grace, is defining it for us without putting it down into a sort of a theorem. It's all, as I say, windows into the great truth that we're to see so clearly. Have you ever come? Now ask yourself and answer your question. You better know whether you've reached faith or whether you haven't. Have you ever walked right out on God what he said? With nothing. Have you ever done? That's the thing. God. Oh, amen. Listen. He gambled his whole life and his children on it too. Wife, family, all a lot. Yeah. And through that, eventually there was a baby born in Bethlehem. And that's why Jesus never comes into reality in so many people's lives. Because they will not obey and step out with no guarantees save the call of God. Whew, this is really strong stuff. You're talking about living by faith. Well, of course I am. That's what it's all about. The just shall live. But only this way. No other way. And we go on then. They desire a better country than all this. They desire a heavenly country. God's not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. And so the whole glorious truth unfolds before us. And I suppose I've been speaking about an hour already. It's nearly time I stopped. So we'll move down then, beloved, and we'll see that although we've already pointed out that Noah was moved by fear, we come lower down by faith 23, when Moses was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, whatever then was the difference? As Noah was afraid and moved by fear, and here's Moses' parents, who you wouldn't say were very, very famous anyway, just their Moses' parents brought them into the scripture. They weren't afraid. Brave souls. Well, you see, it's whether you're moving on the word of God or the word of men, the commandment of God, the commandment of men. When God says something and it's catastrophic, because it was catastrophic, the flood, absolute catastrophe. He said he was going to destroy the earth with a flood. I tell you, what Noah had, of course, was fear of God. And so had the parents of Moses. They had fear of God, which meant that they didn't fear a man, Pharaoh. They didn't fear the highest authority and power and name on the earth. They didn't fear the devil's kingdom, for you will know that Pharaoh represented the devil. They didn't fear anything about that. Well, who's he? You see. They feared God. Somehow in their hearts, who can tell how faith first springs up in a man's soul. They looked at their child and somehow they knew that he was the proper child for God. It's a great thing when you've got your eyes open to see the proper things. And then, you see, they weren't told. God didn't say, now look. Make an ark and pull rushes and so on and so on and so on. There's no account of that in scripture. They just saw it. Hallelujah. And they were living under persecution. They were living under dreadful trials. They were these people who had embraced the promises and had nothing. And devil or the Egyptian, the world, saying, you talk about promises of God who's in all this nonsense. Look at you, you're a couple of slaves here in Egypt. You're talking about the back of your neck, are you? What you want is to get, you see, all this sort of talk. The sort of stuff we hear today. The world's never changed. You see? Look at your father, look at your mother. They died talking like you. That's what I said. And they died in their turn. Jochebed. His wife. They both died. They saw. And by faith and by patience and with full assurance of hope, they plaited the reeds into an ark and daubed it with pitch and put their son in the Nile. And then they had to watch over in case the alligators and crocodiles at him. Here then, beloved, is the beginning of things, isn't it? Eh? A sense, a knowledge of rightness, of the timing of God. Faith. Faith. My, what a glorious thing is faith. Have you got it? No, I'm not afraid of anybody else. They didn't say, all this mockery, oh, it's hard to live, I'm one on my own, or something like that. They went through with God. Away my needless fears. Praise God. Here then I doubt no more, but in his pleasure rest. Amen. What a tremendous thing it is then, beloved, for us to be here. And you see, there's a legacy about faith, you know. The Lord teaches us this. You see, by faith, in the next verse, 24, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not him. When he was come to years. When you're a minor, you've got to fit in here and fit in there and do this and do that. But when I became a man, you see, when he came to years, that the thing that was in his parents' heart was in his too. Isn't this a marvelous thing? He was a true son of his parents. And so he went right through by faith, verse 27. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Hallelujah. Now that's the tradition of true faith. If it's right in me, it'll be right in thee. That's the thing. There's no difference at all. That's what Jesus was looking for. He looked for faith. There's no difference in faith in some other body's heart than there was in his own. You look for faith. That's how you know. All the withdrawings, holding back, making a song and a dance, coming up with all the wiseacre statements, whatever. Does that matter when God speaks? Glory be to the name of the Lord. But you see, in this faith has first of all granted you an understanding, unless you understand by faith. What? A people of no understanding. So then, we could go on. I want you to do that. I think I'm going to stop for tonight. Reading down through that chapter. Letting the truth of it sink into your heart. Understanding what it's all about. Praise God. It's all fitting together, beloved. It's all fitting together. God can speak a creative word anytime he will. Nobody told God when to start creating the world. Any time he will. Oh, man. How about being in an understanding of faith, eh? How about being with your mind full of faith at that time? Eh? How about living clear there so that when he starts, right. How about having this sort of a perception, a sense, an understanding of the rightness and time, so that all God's got to do is go, right? Can't see anything. Fine. The ages aren't fitted together by things we see. And listen, the thing about Moses is this, it says of him, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw him. He not only come to him, he not only believed his word, he saw him. He saw him that was invisible. He never saw form, of course, but he saw him. He could see the way God was moving. He could see what God was doing. Oh, beloved, that's what you've got to be in. You've got to see what God's doing. And you've got to be on it. Hallelujah. So may God take scales from every eye, deafness from every ear, ignorance from every mind. The Lord bring us into a perfect understanding. Faith is the substance of everything. And all that you hope for, beloved, will be vanity unless it's founded on faith in your own life. Live it, live it, live it. And then into the ground of faith, God sows the seeds of hopes. They flourish there. Oh, Lord, because it's so with me now, I'm expecting it to be better tomorrow. I'm hoping for more next year, or whatever it is. Yes, why not? So simple, really. But you must have patience. Don't try and pluck stars out of the sky. Just say, well, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. As long as you've got righteousness in you, as long as you've got the testimony of God, as long as you're there, Lord, I'm just trusting you. And when there's nothing and it's impossible, you can say, well, Lord, I know that you're the creator. I just want you to create what you want, Lord. I'm not telling you what to create. Nobody can tell you what to do. Hallelujah. This is the life that you can live it. And you can. For that's what it's all about. Amen. Now, Father, we commit everything to Thee. Everything. Every one of us, Lord. Thank you for miracles known to us. But thank you better, Lord, for a life that we can live. Amen. Praise Thy name. Oh, Lord. Lord, Thou hast fitted the ages together. If Thou can fit ages together, we can't see or feel. Oh, Lord, who works in the invisible realm, Thou can fit our circumstances together. The age, the year, the day, the hour, the minute. Everything, Lord, is in Thy hands.
Amen.
And we live. We fear Thee. Amen. And nothing and no one else.
Amen.
Blessed be Thy name, O Lord. Take uncertainty out of souls this night. Take the self away, Lord, in which the wrong fears flourish. The wrong hopes thrive. Take away, Lord, the fantasies that people are trying to turn into faith because it's their own wish and their own will. Oh, Lord, not a dream world, a land of promise. We thank you, Father, for the glory of it. And we don't want an opportunity to go back.
No.
That was horrible. But Lord, we love Thee.
Yes.
With all our hearts. Keep us, Lord, where our own prayers couldn't do it, though frantic we call them into the air. Lord, that we may rest in Thy hand.
Amen.
And know the strong arm of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We rest in Thee. Blessed Lord. Amen. Encourage every heart, Lord. And though a man sees nothing spectacular, He has left that world long ago and walks on with thee like Abraham. Presently, Lord, thou wilt fulfill everything. There's an age of fulfillment. Hallelujah. Fit us into it, Lord. We don't want you to fit anything into us. Fit us into thy plan. Hallelujah. Amen.